Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Stephanie Lecce. Before the break, we explored what has made it difficult for many African American students to succeed in and graduate from colleges like UWM. Standardized tests, such as the ACT, are looked at by most schools as important measures of college readiness. But students often fear them, and some criticize the way the tests are written and devised. Nevertheless, more Wisconsin students than ever will soon take the tests, thanks to changes in state education policy, which will next year make the ACTs a requirement for high schoolers. Craig Knurr has helped develop test prep apps and runs a Delafield company that helps students prep for exams like the ACT. He spoke with Mitch Teich about the impact that he believes the new requirement will have.
It's going to have both good and bad effects. The good effect is that every high schooler who goes to a public school gets to take the test, which means you're going to have more students that are going to be looking at college as an option potentially, which is a very good thing. Because a lot of students, I mean, it's $35 to take the basic test, $50 if you want to take it with writing. Particularly with low-income families, even though you can get that written off, doing all that paperwork is kind of a pain. And so what they'll do is, by letting everyone take it, these students now just show up and they take the test, and you've skipped over all those hoops and barrels and all those things.
So that the requirement is such that that it really takes that complication out of the equation.
Exactly. Now, the darker side, so to speak, is that now we are looking at the ACT as evaluating, in a sense, our curriculum. And that, even though it benefits me, is something I don't like because that means that we're looking at the ACT and perhaps brushing over its flaws. And that could present problems. For example, if we're evaluating our science teachers from the ACT, that could be problematic. Because I'll use an SAT analogy here, just because the ACT doesn't have them.
And the SAT is good at analogies, as,
yes,
as I recall.
Yes, yes. I mean, it kicked them out, but everyone still refers to the SAT as being the analogy test. But the ACT science section is to real science what a tofu burger is to a Sobelman's hamburger.
And that is an analogy I think people will grasp.
Yes.
Well, and so let's talk specifically about the science section because, you know, the rumor mill is flying with the idea that the student rumor mill anyway, that the science portion is the hardest. I would imagine all the sections are hard if you don't approach them the right way. But let's talk about the science section. What is it about that section that has so many kids dreading it? And why does that analogy work in your estimation?
Well, part of the reason they dread it so much is that the ACT science section is, for all intents and purposes, a reading diagram and data analysis section. Now, the difficulty is everyone says, oh, it's just, you know, data analysis. But it's really, as I like to say, the test of hasty generalizations, meaning you have to look at the stuff, make a decision really quickly. And that's where it's really bad science. Because science, if you're making hasty generalizations, well, we don't really want them. And so what happens is that students are being put into an environment that is not the exact same as they would have in a science lab.
This is counter to the kinds of lessons they're being taught, really.
Right. And the other thing is when you see a diagram in a textbook, you look at it and you're like, oh, this is what this means. And when you see a diagram on the ACT, you're like, oh my goodness, I have to figure this out just now. What is this doing? And instead of it helping you, it's kind of like beating you over the head and frightening you half to death. It's like the boogeyman coming out of the closet. You turn the page, oh my goodness, what is this? And you're hoping to figure it out really quickly.
But there's presumably not a box you can fill in that says, I protest the whole supposition of this section of the test. So what is a student to do? You know, is there an effective strategy to get ready for a section of the test that is completely counter to the kind of stuff that they're learning every day in high school?
And I'll quickly insert one other reason they say it's the hardest. It comes last. So they're dead tired. So you've got 40 questions, 35 minutes. One of the things you want to be aware of is that you've got 5 minutes per passage. There's 7 total passages. The other thing is that some are going to be more reading intensive. Some are going to be more diagram intensive. And one of the things that I've done is we built a mobile app, which is a free app. And one of the things that we tell people in it is that when you're dealing with a graph, for example, mark the headings on the graph. It seems really crazy and the lines are going to be going up and down and in circles and you're going to have no idea what's going on. But if you look at the question, it's going to say, okay, you need to go to this heading number 5 and this heading 4.5. And then those two headings just kind of meet in the middle of the graph. You say, oh, well, this is where I am. And so if you actually label those headings, even though all sorts of insanity might be going on, you have a fighting chance to say, oh, okay, even though there's 18 graphs, I need the graph that has this thing and this thing. Awesome.
Is there a positive spin to this? What do colleges get out of testing students' science aptitude in this kind of strange way?
Well, one thing I've noticed is that a number of colleges do actually ignore the science section. Wisconsin colleges tend to be okay with it. And so what it's doing and what it professes to do is kind of evaluate how quickly you can reason and how comfortable you are with scientific jargon. One of the other things that we've put in the app, and you can find this in any textbook, we kind of simplified it in the app, is knowing that jargon. For example, most students have not taken geology. There are going to be questions about geology. Now, if you've taken environmental science, you might come across a little bit of that jargon.
So give me an example of the jargon that would come up in geology or environmental science.
You might be talking about, well, even just a fan. which in that case is a lake kind of spreading out and distributing the sand and fanning out. Or you might be talking about a fen, which is a form of a bog, except it's a little bit different. And so just seeing those, like, oh, okay, I'm kind of going into a swamp, and being comfortable with going through those types of terms.
And swamp would be another good analogy to use in this case, because I would imagine some of the students feel like they are really going into a swamp when they
indeed
get to that part
yes
of the test.
Yes, they get quite bogged down.
You know, so this actually gets at the heart of issues that have been bandied about a lot. I mean, there's a lot of backlash against standardized high-stakes testing. How do you feel about the place of reading into the data that comes out of tests like this versus measures of other kinds of thinking and imagination?
Well, it's difficult to really set up a good test for any of those things. What you want to do is take it with a grain of salt. For example, the reading section of the ACT, for the most part, is a glorified word search. There are going to be about 5 real reading comprehension questions. The rest are, did you find this thing in the passage? The other thing that is notable, when you're going through the test, the reading comprehension of almost any section is, did you answer the question? And that's a very particular thing. A lot of the times, and this happens in conversation, someone will say something to you like, hey, I understand you. And you really comprehended maybe 10% of what they said. Well, when you do that on a standardized test and they're saying, did you answer the question? You're like, oh, yeah, I got the meaning. And you didn't actually comprehend the question. That's when you run into problems. So it's a little bit tricky, but in terms of evaluating students for college, again, that grain of salt saying, okay, it's a certain realm of skills, but certainly not all of them.
In addition to the fact that all Wisconsin high school students will soon deal with this requirement to take the ACTs, and I say that that's sort of a value judgment there, but
sure,
they will all have to take the ACT. There's been an increase in the number of students taking both the ACT and SAT as well. Do you think that's a wise idea? These are really different tests.
They are different tests, and for some students, it's a really good idea. From what I've seen and from what has been pretty much seen nationally, about 25% of students are going to test better on the ACT, 25% are going to test better on the ACT, and 50% it's pretty much a coin toss. But it's good to look at both to kind of go through and say, okay, which test is a better representation of me for when I'm applying to college? And one of the ways you can tell that is taking the PSAT. And that's one nice thing about next year is that every high school student in a public school can take the PSAT and the ACT without paying extra for it. But what they can do, and there's a PSAT in about 2 weeks, around the 18th or so. But one of the things that they can do is take that and look at their ACT and say, okay, which did I like better? And which one can I perhaps perform better on? And also, if I study, which one might I perform better on?
Given that the students will be required to take the ACT, as students are taking both the ACT and PSAT, if it turns out that they're really not geared up to take the ACT well, does it behoove them to put all of their eggs in the SAT basket even though they're still going to be required to take the ACT?
For sure. Yeah. There's no sense in forcing a round peg into a square hole. Let it fit as it fits. And, you know, square peg, square hole, round peg, round hole.
Well, Krakener, thank you so much for helping us keep the square pegs and square holes and round pegs and round holes straight.
Well, thank you for having me.
Krakener runs Knurr Learning Center in Delafield and has helped develop a variety of apps designed to help students prepare for standardized tests like the ACT. He spoke with Mitch Tyke. Coming up, we'll speak with a filmmaker behind an important documentary on talking about death and dying. You're listening to Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.